Okay, good evening. So the Rav gave me a second chance to finish the Yamud. So we'll see if we can do it tonight. Okay, so a quick reminder, we are on Daf Yotes Amud Beis Maseches Brachos 19b Maseches Brachos, and we began with a discussion yesterday about a person who is in violation of an Isser, and that particular Isser in question was the Isser of Shatnez of Klayim, and for him to be able to fix that immediately, he would have to take off his clothing in a public place, which would obviously be very embarrassing. And there are those who would suggest, hey, listen, kavod abrios, person has to make sure that he presents himself properly in a dignified manner. And therefore, even though he's violating an issur from the Torah, maybe he should be allowed to keep his clothing on despite the fact that he's wearing shatnez. And the Gemara says, no, that's not how it works. When there's a mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah is the mitzvah, and we have to keep the mitzvah as it states, and a person can't start coming up with all types of clever explanations as to why it would not be relevant to them. And therefore, the term that Gemara used was in chachma, vein tivuna, vein eitzel, neged Hashem. A person cannot come up with all types of wise, clever calculations as to why it would be permissible for a person to violate an isser. If something is asr, it is asr. And the Gemara started challenging that by citing a number of different cases where it seemed like, because of the respect, the kavod of a particular person, we would indeed suspend particular mitzvahs. And we went through a number of them yesterday. The last one we talked about yesterday was giving respect to kings. We didn't have much time to talk about this, but giving respect to kings is a very important thing. And the Gemara says that it's not even specifically talking about Malchei Yisrael, not even specifically talking about Jewish kings, but even non-Jewish kings, what they would do is they would run to greet the king, even if that meant that they were going to be jumping over the coffins of dead bodies, and even if they were a Kohen, which technically would make them Tamei. Now, how could it be that a person would go ahead and go out of their way to give kavod to the king, even at the expense of a Kohen becoming Tamei? How could a Kohen become Tamei? A person should say, hey, listen, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, ein eitzah, ein chachma, ein tvuna, ein eitzah neged Hashem. Person can't start making calculations. They listen, it's important. We have to make sure that we have proper recognition from the kings. If something is asr, it's asr. The Gemara says that the prohibition of tumah in that case was only midrabanan because we're talking about a mace that's placed inside a box, inside a coffin, and a mace that's placed inside of a coffin is going to have an ear space between the corpse and the top of the box, and technically that would be enough to stop the tumor from rising up. Why is it that we worry about it? We worry about it because not every case is going to be that way. There might be a case where the mace, where the corpse is actually very large, and therefore there won't be that amount of space, or the opposite. Maybe the coffin in that particular case will be very small, and there won't be that much space, and if there's less than a tefach of space between the corpse and the top of the box, then the tumah would be olad l'rakia, it would go up and up and up, and therefore they would become tamei. Chachamim said, we treat all coffins the same. You can't start peeking into every coffin to see how much space there is. That itself would not be covered on mace. That would be ridiculous also. And therefore, Chazal said, every single aron, every single coffin will be treated the same, and we're going to assume that tumah comes out. However, we know that the reality is that in most cases, it's only going to be a tumah midrabanan, not a tumah midaraisa, and that's why, at the expense of not honoring the king properly, the Chachamim were mevater on the mitzvah. They were not gozer in that particular case. They said, listen, it's worth it to suspend the din midrabanan to give proper respect to the king. Now the Gemara goes on. Tashema. So it's about a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. Tashema gadol kavod abrios. Kavod abrios is so special. Shedocha es losa se shebatorah. This seems to be black on white, without any room for any question. There's a brayso which says very clearly, kavod abrios, the respect for a human being is so strong that a person would even violate a los haseh in the Torah. A person seems like a person could violate a lav. Doesn't seem to specify which lav, and all lav it should be the same. The Gemara says, v'amai, why would we be allowed to do that? Le'mayin chachma, vein tvuna, vein eitzel, l'neged Hashem. How could a person violate one of the Yisurim in the Torah just for Kavod Abrius to maintain his personal dignity or his respect? That doesn't make any sense. We should say the same line we said before. A person can't come up with clever calculations as to why they should be able to violate any Yisurim. So Gemara says, Tergema Rav Bar Shabbat Kamedra of Kahana Balav Delo Saser. So you misunderstood what that Gemara said. The Gemara said that it's docha Los Asei Shabbatara, it didn't mean that human dignity suspends all prohibitions in the Torah. It meant there is one prohibition in the Torah that can be suspended for the sake of Kavod Abrios, for human dignity. What is that? That's the lav of Lo Saser Min Adavar Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin Usmo. The Pasuk says that when Chachamim tell us something, when our sages teach us something, the halacha is, we cannot budge, not to the right, not to the left. And Rashi tells us very clearly, if you look at the various Rishonim over there, Afilu al Yamin Shu Smol, Val Smol Shu Yamin. What the Chachamim tell you something which you think to be completely ludicrous. Chazal say to do A, and it seems like they're telling you to go left when you know you're supposed to go right. They tell you that right is left and left is right. The Pasuk tells you, you still have to listen to our Chachamim. In other words, the mitzvahs of Chachamim are so important that we should not violate them, even if it seems like what they are telling us is simply the opposite from the reality. Now, in that mitzvah, we're going to get back to this in the Gemara in a second. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, whether or not every single mitzvah midrabanan is also going to be a mitzvah midoraisa. In other words, where do Chazal have the power to give us mitzvahs midrabanan? We know that throughout all of our life, there are many mitzvahs which are midoraisa, and attached to them are mitzvahs midrabanan. It comes up in Kashrus, in Shabbos, in Torah. All areas of Torah practically have dina midoraisa and dina midrabanan. Basr b'chalav is a plain and simple example. The pasuk says, "Lo savashal gadi b'chalivimo," which simply means a person cannot cook a kid goat, or for that matter, any meat inside its mother's milk, or for that matter, any milk. That's all midoraisa. However, eating milk, cold milk with cold meat, it would technically be permissible midoraisa. Similarly, eating chicken. Chicken with cheese, chicken with milk, would be permissible midoraisa. But every yid knows that a person eats chicken, they're fleishigs. They can't eat milk for as long as they wait, typically 6 hours. And that's all midrabanan. The whole idea of waiting 6 hours. Midoraisa, only if it's cooked together. Midrabanan, there's this idea of waiting. How long does one have to wait? That's a sugya that comes up in Yoredeya with regard to the halachas of Asr B'chalav. But all that's midrabanan. It's so deeply baked into our lifestyle as Yidden that we treat dina midrabanan with such a strict level of sincerity. Now, when a person violates one of those dina midrabanan, are they also in violation of a dina midoraisa? Or I should back it up. Where do Chazal get the power to make those halachos? So everyone agrees that the pasuk of Lo Sasim Min Adavar Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin Usmal is the power that are given to Chachamim. The question just is, if a person were to violate the Din Midrabanan, are they also at the same time, simultaneously, in violation of the Din Midoraisa of Lo Sasim Min Adavar Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin Usmal? Whether you pass like the Ramban or the Rambam is irrelevant. The bottom line is the person's over an Issa Midrabanan. That's what the Gemara is saying, that when it says in the Braisa that Kavod Abrios is so important that it's even Docha, a Din Midoraisa, a Los Asei Shabbatorah, it was referring to the mitzvah of Los Asim and Adavar Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin Usmal. The Gemara says, Achicho Haleah. They laughed at him. And they said, Lav de Los Asir, Doraisa he. It's also Midoraisa. Why is it any different? So this seems to back up the opinion that says every time a person violates the Din Midrabanan, it's a violation of Mitzvah Midoraisa as well. Amar of Kahana, Kahana says, Gavra Rabba, Omar Milsa, Lo Tachichu Aleah. When a very special or important person tells you something, don't laugh at him. Why? Because kol mili drabanan asmachinu alav de lo saser. Mushum kvodo shorabanan. Every din midrabanan that we're talking about, the chachamim, they relied on the pasuk of lo saser in order to give them the power to implement that din. So what he meant to say when he said lav de lo saser, he really was just using that as a euphemism to point out that the Kavod Abrios is going to take precedence over Dinim Midrabanan. He used the words Lo Saser because that's the place that Chachamim relied on to give them the power to be able to implement these Dinim of the Dinimi Drabanan. Now, it's interesting. It's just something to point out. You know, in this specific Gemara, the Gemara makes a very important point. Sometimes Chazal say things, and it sounds so ludicrous to us. And that's what happened in this Gemara. We had over here, we had Tirgama, just to go back into the Gemara, Tirgama Rav Bar Shaba Kamedra of Kahana. Rav Bar Shaba said something. Clearly, he was an Amora, an important person. He said something, and everyone was laughing at him. Now, the Gemara says, in this specific Gemara of Lo Sasser, sometimes you might think what Chazal tell you is so ridiculous. He said, oh, they're talking about the mitzvah of Lo Sasser. What kind of joke is that? Lo Sasser is also Midoraisa. What do you mean? It makes no sense. And you think about it a little bit more and realize, no, there was a lot of depth to this, actually. The problem wasn't Rav Bar Shaba. The problem was you, that you misunderstood what he was saying. It's an important thing to keep in mind. In this pasuk of Lo Sasser and Davar Shegid L'Chiyam Nusmel, sometimes Chazal say things. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand what they mean. The problem is not Chazal. The problem is us. We have to be careful not to scorn or to laugh at the words of Chazal, because, again, Chazal, our Gavra Rabba, they say things. It comes along with a tremendous amount of research, tremendous amount of sincerity. We have to make sure that we're taking it with the proper sincerity that it deserves. The Gemara goes on. Tashima, let's come and bring another raya to this halacha of Kavod HaBriyos. The pasuk says, V'hisalamta mehem, which literally means you shall turn away from them. Now, if we read it like this, it's hard to be hard to understand what it means. I don't have the Gemara in front of me that has the full pasuk, so if I make a mistake, you'll be mocha me. But I believe the pasuk says, "Lo sira es shara chicha o es seyo nidachim baderech vis alamta mehem." A person should not see his friend's animal walking along the way, lost, and you will turn away from it. It's a little bit backwards, even for Lashon HaKodesh. It's not the way to write a pasuk. You're supposed to first say what you shouldn't do. In other words, don't turn away from your friend's lost animal. Why does it say, lo sira, you should not see your friend's animal, and then you will turn away from them. The language is backwards. So the Gemara says, the reason why it says, v'his alamta mehem, is to tell you that sometimes, indeed, yes, v'his alamta mehem, you actually should turn away from it. Pa'amim sha'ata mis'alim mehem. Pa'amim sha'inata mis'alim mehem. This is talking about the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda. There are some times when indeed you should just turn yourself away from picking up a lost article and returning it, and we'll see what those cases are. Ha'ketzad, for example, im haya kohen v'hibbeis akvaris. If there's a kohen, he's walking around, he sees a lost article or a lost animal walking around in the Beis HaKvaris. Now, if the Kohen is going to walk into the Beis HaKvaris to get the lost article, he's going to become Tamei. So now we understand. A Kohen can't become Tamei to return a lost article. Or, Oya Ohaya Zakein Ve'eno Lichvichvodo. Or it's a Zakein, a sage, an important person, and it's just below his dignity to be walking around with this item. Now use your imagination. There just are certain things, if you see the rav of the community walking around with, it's just inappropriate. I don't know, maybe a person lost their bathing suit someplace. So you see like the rav of the community walking down the street holding onto a bathing suit, looks a little bit funny. So you can walk over to this, why you wear holding a bathing suit, or again, maybe a piece of sports equipment that's just not appropriate for that person to be walking around with. Or maybe anything else that's just not appropriate for the person to be walking around with. It doesn't fit the person's dignity, and therefore he should turn away and not return the lost article. One more case. Or if his time that he's going to expend returning this lost article is going to exceed the value of the item. Sometimes, you know, when I was in yeshiva, you constantly see these signs, like found pen on my shtender. Now, it's a Bic pen. It comes with 30 in a pack. The pen is worth probably somewhere between 20 and 30 cents. And the amount of time that you're going to be spending to return that pen, and the person himself is not even going to bother coming back to return it, when the item is of such low value, so then no, you don't have to actually spend time returning it. Now, lakach nevi salamta, to teach you that sometimes, yes, you can indeed turn yourself away from turning a lost article. Now the Gemara says, "Am I? Why are you allowed to do that? Lema ein chachma vein tvuna vein etzel neged Hashem. How could this chacham vein lefich voto not return the lost article? So let's just think of it. You know, a chacham is walking down the street and he finds, I don't know, a woman's pair of clothing. Okay, so now he finds a pair of clothing that belongs to a woman. The chacham, the Talmud chacham, the rav of the community, the Rosh Hashiva, will pick it up and be walking down the street with this, whatever this thing is. It's not appropriate for him to be walking down the street. Now he's saying, I can't do this. How can I walk around with this thing? Now listen, the answer is, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Hashavas Aveda, and therefore you have no choice. You have to do it. Who cares if it's below your dignity? How can you violate or pass up on this mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda just because you believe it's below your dignity? So the Gemara says, well, hold on a second. Shani Hatsam, the Siva Hesalamta. Not just that we came up with a clever idea. The Torah itself told us that there's an exception, that a Shavas Aveda only goes as far as not making a fool out of yourself. So if you have to make a fool out of yourself to return this article, you don't have to do it. So Gemara says, all right, why don't we use that as like a binyan av to teach me that's how mitzvahs work? Maybe this actually should be the source that mitzvahs were not intended to embarrass someone. Gemara says, you can't do that because Isurim Mimona lo yalfinan. You can't compare the different types of halachas. This is a monetary law between people. You can't learn Isurim. We have different klalim, different sets of rules for things that are prohibited from monetary laws. We see this all the time. Just specifically these two things. Safek d'oraisa is the chumrah when it comes to Yisurim. However, when it comes to monetary issues, there's a safek if I owe you money. You know what the halacha is? Until you prove that I owe you money, I don't have to pay it to you. Hamotz michver over raya. So therefore, there's different rules when it comes to monetary law and it comes to laws of prohibitions, ritual laws, and therefore you can't compare one thing to the next. Gemara gives one more example. Tashema. V'lach oso. The Pasuk is talking about a Nazir over here. The Pasuk says that kol yimei hiziru l'Hashem al nefesh meis lo yavo. Pasuk says when a Nazir is a Nazir, during the entire span of his Nazirus, he cannot become Tameh and to anybody. And the Pasuk goes on and lists la'aviv, la'ima, la'choso, la'achiv, la'choso. It lists all his siblings. Now the Gemara says, why do you have to list all these things? The Gemara basically tells us that whether or not he's a Kohen, a couple other, basically teaches us that he's allowed to be Matamah to a Meis Mitzvah, whether he's a Nazir, whether he's a Kohen, whether he's a Kohen Gadol, all those cases to a Meis Mitzvah, to a person who died and doesn't have anybody who can actually bury them, a Nazir is allowed to do it. Now the word L'Achoso doesn't have anything to be taught, so therefore it teaches us, L'Achoso Matam Alomar, what's the word L'Achoso? Why is it specified that a Nazir can't become Tummy to his sister? It teaches us, the following case, which is Hare Shahaya Holech Lishkot Es Pisco. A person was on his way, Erev Pesach, to Shecht his Karban Pesach, Velomel Es Beno, and to circumcise his son. Veshama Shemes Lo Meis. He found out that a relative passed away. Yachal, you would think Yachzer V'Tameh. He should go back, become Tameh, and lose his opportunity to bring a Karban Pesach. Tamal Omar, Lo Yitameh. No, he should not become Tameh because he's going to lose his opportunity to bring the Karban Pesach. Now, Yachol Kishem Shin Matam Lehem Kach In Matam Meis Mitzvah. You would think just like this person can't become Tamei to a relative, so on Erev Pesach a person can't become Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah. The halacha is no Tamalomu V'Lachoso. The pasuk tells you L'Achoso Ein Matamei Avo Matamei Hu Meis Mitzvah. He can become Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah. Now, Gemara says, Amai Lemei Chachu Mei Tvunu Mei Neitzel Neged Hashem. How could you say that for the sake of the kavod, for the respect of the deceased Meis Mitzvah, that a person will become Tamei and lose their opportunity to bring Karban Pesach? Hold on, we don't make these calculations. Gemara says, Shani Hasam, L'chsiv L'achoso. What are you talking about? There's a pasuk that teaches you. It's not our clever calculation that comes up with this idea. The Gemara says, V'ligmar minei, why don't we learn from there to all other cases? Gemara says, no, Shev V'altase Shani. In that case, what is he doing? He's not bringing the Karban Pesach. In other words, he's not actively violating an Avera. He's remaining in the status quo. So he's keeping the status quo is different than actively violating an Isser. This actually opens up a whole discussion to what we talked about yesterday. What happens if it's related to a third party? Now, I myself might choose Sheva Altase. I myself might choose not to tell the guy who's wearing Klayim that he's wearing Klayim. However, what happens with that guy? He is actively violating an Isser. He is actively wearing klayim. The case we brought yesterday for the Nodav Yehuda, that case as well. So the person who had the affair with his mother-in-law, that person, he wants to say, I shouldn't go ahead and tell my father-in-law about this, because shev al tase, maybe it's better if I just do nothing. Well, you know what? You're a shev al tase, but guess what? Your father-in-law, every time he has this relationship with his wife, he's going to be in violation of the Isser. So therefore, that's not shev al tase. So the discussion comes up to, would we allow the heptar of Kavod HaBrios to be relevant in a case where the person himself in question is Shev Al Tase, but the other person, the third party, is going to be Kumvase? Nodav Yehuda says, no, that wouldn't work. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means Shev Al Tase, where the actual mitzvah that's being violated is B'Shev Al Tase, by just doing nothing, but idly standing by and not actively violating the Isser. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful evening.